My dear friends in Christ, blessings to you on this memorial of St. Therese of the Child Jesus and Respect Life Sunday. The reason for my message today is one of urgency related to our responsibilities as faithful citizens. This November, the state of Ohio is at a crossroads in deciding how to protect women and the unborn. On the ballot is a proposed amendment to the Ohio Constitution that would enshrine the right to abort innocent life in the womb at any moment of pregnancy, while harming women and families in the process. I am urging faithful citizens across the Archdiocese to vote no on this dangerous ballot initiative. In our first reading, taken from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, we encounter a complaint from the people of Israel who struggle to follow God's covenant of righteousness and justice. This includes obeying the commandments, oppressing no one, giving food to the hungry, and not exacting usury. The Lord's way is not fair, they clamor. But of course, the Lord responds, "Is it my way that is unfair? Or rather, are not your ways unfair?" So let's focus on this question. In the time and place we find ourselves today, what are the Lord's ways? The rich tradition of our Catholic faith tells us that, in all times and places, the Lord's ways are the moral actions that lead us to a right relationship with God and with each other. Because we believe in a God who is love, the Lord's ways are those choices and actions that bind us in God's love and build the civilization of love among ourselves. In the second reading, St. Paul writes to the Philippians, spelling this out further. He urges, "Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for one's own interest, but also for those of others." Selflessness, concern for others before ourselves, these are the actions of love. These are God's ways. We are called to advance God's ways of love on multiple levels. You and I strive to exercise love through the thousands of individual decisions we make each day in how we treat others, our family members, our friends, our neighbors, and strangers who pass into our lives. The magnitude of our love is greatest when we impart it to the poor and the vulnerable, or to those who seem to us hardest to love. Yet we also embody love in how we shape our society, economy, and culture. Do our laws and systems help us to build a civilization of love by upholding the life and dignity of all people, especially the most vulnerable among us? Or do the powerless fall through the cracks? As Pope Benedict XVI explained, the commandment to love our neighbor applies both to our micro relationships among each other and our macro relationships, those that shape how the weakest among us can depend upon society to respect their lives and dignity. I share all of this to make clear that it is right for the Church and the faithful to speak out on matters of morals in the public arena. The Church does not endorse political candidates or parties, but it consistently forms consciences by advancing its position on matters that define our vision for building God's civilization of love on earth as it is in heaven. We regularly do so by speaking up for the needs of the poor and vulnerable, protecting the unborn, securing religious liberty, ending the use of the death penalty, standing for the humane treatments of migrants, and protecting our common home, the earth. Likewise, we cannot remain silent on a direct ballot question like the one in November, which is a clear threat to human life and dignity. And so what is at stake this November? A no vote on the Issue 1 ballot initiative effectively maintains the status quo on the issue of abortion in Ohio. It leaves it up to the legislature and court to determine how accessible or how limited abortion will be. However, the amendment language is so broad and so vague that a yes vote opens up the right to abortion with no restrictions. No term restrictions, no age restrictions, no parental notification restrictions. This must not be our society's response to women facing crisis pregnancies. Rather, it must be more love, more accompaniment, and more resources to women in need. It should also involve a compassionate, non-judgmental path to hope and healing for those who have been affected by abortion, as is offered through our Project Rachel ministries. An expectant mother can face many challenges, including lack of support from the father, financial strains, concerns about her health, and pressure from family and friends. In such times, every woman should be able to depend upon a community of support, both during pregnancy and after a child is born. We must also continue to engage in advocacy for access to quality health care, paid parental leave laws, affordable child care options, and more. A woman should never feel that she must abandon her dreams due to an unexpected pregnancy, whether she ultimately decides to raise the child herself or to place the child for adoption. Dependency on society for life and recognition of dignity is equally the case for those still growing in the womb. From the moment of conception, a unique human person exists. We might say, from that point forward, a person's life stages can be distinguished simply by how much he or she has grown and by how dependent upon the action of others that person is for survival. Ultimately, from the moment of conception until our natural death, we are all dependent on each other. At no point should any person, inside or outside the womb, be deemed less of a life because someone they depend upon says so. To think otherwise is to objectify that life. These are some of the reasons why the Church unwaveringly maintains that to reject abortion and to accompany expectant mothers in need are consistent with God's ways of love. We stand for a society where everyone cares for everyone. In closing, I urge you not to let this moment for action pass you by. In our Gospel today, we hear of two sons who are both expected to take care of the family farm. While one son seems to understand that it was right to go out and do the necessary work in the vineyard, he ultimately takes no action. The other son, although he originally refuses, changes his mind and actually does something about it. I urge all Catholics and all people of goodwill to please do something about this proposed amendment. Please pray earnestly for its defeat. Please educate yourself, your family, and friends about its dangers. Please vote no on Issue 1 on November the 7th. And whatever may result after this vote, our work in the vineyard does not end. Please let us continue to do all that we can to care for women, children, and families in need through our public advocacy and through the many charitable organizations designed to help. Today's second collection to the Respect Life Fund directly assists the good work of many of those organizations across our archdiocese. May the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of our Lord and Savior, and Saint Joseph, Protector of the Family, intercede for Ohio and its families in the weeks ahead. Thank you, and may God bless you.